We take a different approach than the seasonal workers program in that we don't really put an end date on how long these people could come and work and live in Australia. So it is quite a different scheme. And in our analysis, we take a look at two different scenarios. First, we wanted to imagine what the impact would be for an almost completely open migration policy with the Pacific. So what we had in mind there is something akin to our current arrangement with New Zealand, whereby migrants have to pay their own way, still have to secure a visa and pass a health and character check, and have limited access to certain welfare benefits upon arrival. But the volume of migrants would be completely relaxed. So using best available evidence out there, we assumed that over a 25-year period, approximately one-fifth of the Pacific's population would migrate to Australia. Such an inflow would bring, at a minimum, and we use very conservative estimates around incomes here, 40 times the value of Australia's current aid program by the year of 2040, simply through just improving individual incomes. Now, given the Pacific's region's relatively small size, this scenario, a near-open scenario, would still only result in the population of Pacific Islanders within Australia changing from 1% under business-as-usual projections to around 2.5%. Now, that's not exactly a profound impact on the makeup of Australian society. But we're also conscious that such a scenario would likely leave too many unknowns on the table, particularly around how many people might actually come year to year if you do completely relax these conditions. So we decided also to model a scenario whereby the Australian government would set an annual immigration quota and run a lottery-based visa system, similar to the way New Zealand operates one with Samoa at the moment, across the Pacific, thereby controlling the annual intake. Under this scenario, we give policymakers the option of choosing how many Pacific Islanders could come to Australia by 2040, ranging anywhere from 1% of the population of the Pacific to 20%. So the smaller the scheme, the less risk you have of generating adverse effects both here and in the Pacific, but you also make the potential gains less transformative. That being said, allowing just 1% of the Pacific's relatively small population to come and work in Australia would bring benefits to the people of the Pacific greater than what we currently give in foreign aid.
So are we therefore talking about a combination of workers, some who would come over on a temporary basis, but some who would migrate here?
Well, yeah, I would advocate for all measures of greater labour mobility for the Pacific to be left on the table. The seasonal workers program is already in effect. The uptakes are ticking up, and there's a lot of merit to these people coming in and filling these labour gaps in seasonal work and then going home. So I think both policy options should be left on the table.
Would you see the current government being open to this significant change? I mean, one of the overriding things to come out of it is your suggestion that ultimately Australia would get more bang for its buck if it went down this path rather than upping its aid, which I suppose, let's face it, they're unlikely to do anyway.
I can't speak for the government's decision-making on this, but it seems like labour mobility is something they are leaning into at the moment. You just see the support that the seasonal workers program has. You see through the Northern Australian White Paper, we have an implementation of a two-year Pacific visa for small island states, and we have the first group of e-Kiribati workers coming in under that scheme in the last few months. So there's already a bit of momentum happening here around this area because, as I said, it's one of the real last tools in our arsenal we have with regards to our engagement with the Pacific. The results of our foreign aid have been mixed at best. I mean, we have to be realistic about what we can actually expect our foreign aid to achieve in the region. And without a dramatic increase in that foreign aid, I don't think you can get close to the impact that such a scenario as we're proposing could bring.
Is this a unique scheme that you've come up with, or is it modelled on something that has worked elsewhere in the world?
Well, it's a scheme that people have been talking about in Australia for quite some time, and there are examples of it across the world. I mean, as I said earlier, the closest proxy we have to it is in New Zealand. New Zealand has quota schemes with Samoa, but also Tonga and Fiji, whereby they allow a certain number of Pacific Islanders to come to New Zealand. In the North Pacific, the compact states have open access to the United States, which we've modelled a lot of underlying assumptions on as well. The United States also runs an annual green card lottery system across the world. So there are schemes like this around the world, but the schemes we have modelled do take it to another level. The Pacific region is really only one of the only regions in the world we can think of where this would actually work, given the finite number of the population of the Pacific.